Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 3, we were taught that God expects all Christians to love one another. That's a good spot to start today.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
If you go back and you read 1 John chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, we read this. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because we have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Okay. Love for one another in God also is a love that's overcoming any and all forms of sin. In really, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And that little Greek in that one verse there is just saying was God, was already in existence, existed always when he created the heaven and the earth. He says the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him, that is, without the word, was not anything made that was made. And the word, verse 14, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But then back in verse 4, he said that in him was life, and that life is the light of men. So if you're walking in Jesus, you're going to walk in holiness and in light of his word. Now, I found it interesting that Greek scholars call verse 11 a present subjunctive act. You say, preacher, what are you doing there? You're losing me now. I just say that to say that it means do this continually. And be very active in doing it. God expects first-person action from us on this. So look at verse 11 again with that idea. For this is the message we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Continually, first-person action. Wow. And again, this is coming from God in confirmation of the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ before he was crucified in John 13, 34, and 35, right after the Last Supper. A new commandment I give unto you, ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, no way is this expected to be in contradiction to the person or the character of Jesus Christ. To be a love that compromises any part of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not a true love. We don't sacrifice it for the carnal. Now, again, sometimes we separate from brethren. It should be because we love them. And therefore, we're showing that we don't tolerate the sin they're in. I've even had family that I have not allowed to be around me. I don't do things in partnership with them till they make some things right. Why? Because I hate them? No, I love them. I love them, and I want their lives to be right. Now, this ongoing first-person action is commanded of us from God for that of which we will give an account. That account is to love the brethren. God had that in place from the very foundation of the world. That's what we have back in chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Now, I'm going back on these verses, as you've seen throughout this book, because I want you to see the whole book is working together. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship, that is partnership, with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, declaring to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay, again, there we sit, walking in light. You don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You don't walk in darkness. If you say that you're walking in light, but you're walking in darkness, he says you're a liar. And who's the father of lies? The devil. In other words, now he's acting as your father instead of the Lord. So we not only see the message, but now we're being introduced to the murderer. Again, in verse 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, who's the wicked one? The devil, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own work were evil, and his brother's right. He couldn't stand. He loved evil. He loved unrighteousness. And that created a hate for righteousness. Even when it's his own brother, he's ready to kill him. Kill his own brother. Think of that. So that's the example. An authenticity of the existence of Cain and Abel, by the way, for those who deny the Adam and Eve story. Here we have. The story is in Genesis chapter 4. Many liberal people who reject our King James seek to make the creation story just an allegory and not a historical event or even historical people. But what does the Bible say? Matthew chapter 23 and verse 35, Jesus speaking, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Bacharias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Now, these are the words of Jesus. Why would he use the blood of Zacharias, who was near the end of the Old Testament era, and all these men knew that. They knew that this was a real person. And then have Cain at the beginning as an allegory only? That doesn't even make sense. You say, in the same sentence, an allegory and a real person? No. But you see, their hate of creation, their hate of the Word of God as not only God-breathed but preserved, magnifies their foolishness. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speak. How can he be an example of faith in this great faith chapter if he did not exist, if it did not happen? See, the foolishness of the deniers is manifested. But men don't care. Once Satan is dedicated to as their father. So we are clearly told that Cain is of that wicked one, which they also in many places deny his existence. Cain was born to Adam and Eve. But his inward person was bent by Satan because he allowed him to. The Greek word here for wicked one refers to one who is evil in a moral and spiritual sense, and is therefore wicked and malicious. Remember the words of Jesus, that of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Well, there's another passage that goes along similar lines that Jesus also spoke in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Jesus said, "For within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thought, adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness," that is, anything goes, no restriction, "an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now, that sounds like 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, doesn't it? When a heart is evil, it thinks of itself first. Envy is part of that wicked way as seen in Cain. Now, you know, and I think of this as Saul. Saul has thousands. David has 10,000. Boy, that just really started a thing of jealousy in Saul. His flesh loves to be number one. He is building his name, not God's name. David wasn't seeking to build his own name. He is seeking to build the name of the Lord. Simon, in Acts chapter 8, wants to give money to Peter in order to buy this gift where he could lay his hands on people. And you know, all these great gifts that they could give, and he's offering to pay for it. You see, he too was jealous. He was envious. This was something he wanted for himself, not for the name of the Lord, not for righteousness, for himself, to exalt himself. And what does that end up doing? Well, that brings destruction. And that's the way it is. Now again, it is our responsibility to understand that different things can get in. Now, with Simon, that we just said of Acts chapter 8, he kind of reminds us, because he was told better, but he reminds us of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14, 15, both he and Saul.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet.